Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. Thousands of years before white settlers came here, Native American tribes lived in areas throughout Wisconsin. Today, tribes continue to make their homes here, but much has changed. Through decades of forced assimilation, Native American cultures were suppressed, including their languages.
Some Native languages are now considered extinct. In Wisconsin, about 5 Native languages are still spoken. Some have fewer than 5 people who are considered first language speakers. Tom Tolan is the managing editor for Milwaukee Magazine, and for this month's issue, he authored a piece on the local efforts to save these languages. I sat down with Tom, and he explains why he decided to write this story.
About a year ago, I think in the June edition last year, I did a story about Milwaukeeese, the terms that Milwaukeeans use. I know WUWM has done really nice work on that as well. And I got in touch with a guy named Joel Salmons, who's a linguist at UW-Madison. I emailed him. He's one of the 3 authors of a book called Wisconsin Talk. He emailed me back, but so did his wife. And his wife is another linguist named Monica McCauley, who is also, and I quoted her a lot, and she emailed me back and said, after you get finished with Joe, you ought to talk to me about Native languages, because that's even, well, I'm not sure she said even more interesting, but she said as interesting at least. So that's how I got into this. And I took many months, you know, gathering wool on this and probably more time than I needed to. But it just was fascinating to get into. And I hope I've done it justice. At least 5 languages are spoken in Wisconsin. There's a couple others that are there are attempts at reviving them, but I wouldn't say they're really spoken.
Yeah, what was surprising in reading the article was, you know, you mentioned the 5 languages, and then you mentioned like how many first language speakers there are, and I knew it was going to be a small amount, but I was very surprised at how small on some of them.
5 and for the Menominee and 7 for the Potawatomi, I think it was, and maybe 35 or 40 for the Ojibwe, who are a much bigger tribe than all the others. But the vast majority of their first language speakers are up in Canada, where there's a number of bands scattered around the country.
Well, and this article is really touching on the effort to change that.
Right.
So you focus on all of these immersion schools. For people who might not be familiar with them as they pertain to language, what is an immersion school?
Well, we have some in Milwaukee. We've got the French language immersion school. I think there's a German one in MPS and Spanish. So, for example, a Fratney school in the River West neighborhood, one day they're doing all their classes in Spanish, and another day they're doing all of them in English. Well, this one at the Lacouture Ojibwe Reservation, the Waduka Dating School is the immersion school there, and they're speaking only Ojibwe. The teachers are speaking only Ojibwe during class time. I think for the younger grades, the kids aren't fluent in Ojibwe yet, or aren't conversant in Ojibwe, so they're allowed to speak a little English in their classes. But the idea is to get them used to using the language, and by the time they graduate, they're conversational in that language.
For most of the students, this is not a language that they're going home and speaking, although they may be Ojibwe. What happened to the Ojibwe language and many Native American languages that caused them to become either extinct in some cases or endangered?
Well, part of it is the United States government. In the late 1800s and the early 1900s, there were a bunch of Indian schools set up by the government. And the point of these schools was to scrub these kids of their native culture. They thought they'd be better Americans if they assimilated to American culture. So they were, many of these schools, they were punished for speaking their native languages. And I've heard from people that, you know, this would be the generation of the grandparents or the great-grandparents of people that are alive now. But I've heard from many people that their grandparents or great-grandparents did not teach them in the language because they were somehow had been taught to be ashamed of it. So that's a big part. And then just American culture has taken over many, you know, just like in the rest of Wisconsin, you just don't hear as much German as you did 100 years ago. It's just the American culture is dominant.
You know, why is this something that people are trying to preserve? It's something that you address inside of the article, mm-hmm. that the reason why people want to preserve the Ojibwe language is because it is integral to their culture.
Yeah. It's really a way of looking at the world. And so the natural world, you know, one of the guys that I interviewed, Michael Sullivan, who's a PhD linguist up in Lac-Couturier, he assesses the language abilities of the kids in that school. And they'll talk about maple sugaring, which is one of the sort of the basic cultural activities that they do, or, you know, gathering wild rice. So there's specific Ojibwe words for that. But also Ojibwe is used, but it is also true of Potawatomi and Menominee. The language is used in their religious ceremonies. And it's the people who believe in those religions. You know, the ceremonies have to be in the native language. There's a guy named Jim Thunder who is an elder up in Forest County Potawatomi tribe. He says when God doesn't hear our language spoken, he'll consider their tribe to be extinct. So it's spiritual matters and also, you know, cultural matters. It's the way that their culture, the lifeblood of their culture, the languages.
Yeah. Now, we've been talking about Wadugadatin, but Wadugadatin is just part of a much larger cultural movement among many tribes. What are some of the other immersion schools that we have here in Wisconsin?
I wrote a good deal about the Menominee. A guy named Ron Korn Jr. trains people up there. He's the head of that language department is Joey Awanape. But anyway, in the last couple of years, they've been running an immersion daycare in which the teachers are all trained in Menominee. And like in Lac-Couturier, they speak only Menominee to their little kids that are, you know, it's 0 to 2 years old this year. Next year, they're planning to add another class. But they're all pleased with kids respond to orders or to requests, even if they're not speaking yet, they respond to prompts in Menominee. You know, and Ron told me that when the kids are out and there's a get-together, a tribal get-together, the elders will speak to them, the kids in Menominee, and the kids will respond. So there's a lot of excitement about that, according to Ron.
We also have a program, we have a school here in the Milwaukee area over in Franklin, which is taking a slightly different approach.
Yeah, it would be impractical for the Indian Community School, which is a beautiful campus out in Franklin. It would be impractical for them to do immersion programs. They teach every kid in that school takes a language. Currently, they've got Ojibwe, Menominee, and Oneida being taught there. I haven't checked in lately, but they were very close the last time I talked to them to adding Ho-Chunk, to adding a teacher of Ho-Chunk to the school. And so that would be good. That would be four languages. But it would be hard to get people to teach mathematics, you know, all the other language arts, and that sort of all those other grade school classes in the native language. So I don't think that they're graduating kids that are as proficient in their languages as the kids up in Lac-Couturier. But their goal now is to graduate kids that are conversational in the language with the hope that some of those kids will be motivated enough to become fluent. And it's interesting, they told me that this is a fairly new curriculum that they're developing, or a new way of teaching. I don't think they use the word curriculum. But they did a tour of all the tribes in the state, and they told me that every one of those, they had, you know, discussions with all of them about, you know, what they should be doing here down in Milwaukee, and every conversation involved the importance of language for each of these tribes. So they took that to heart, and that's now their goal.
What is the hope for these programs moving forward? It seems like all of them are in very different stages of development, especially when we're looking at a school like the Indian Community School,
right,
which serves so many different tribes.
Yeah, what is the goal? I guess the goal is to get, it's not just to learn the language, it's to be immersed in the culture. And so it's that each of these tribes is proud of their culture, and they want their kids to be proud of the culture. And, you know, in Indian country, there are many problems that, you know, alcohol and drugs and historically poverty, you know, it just makes sense for people to be proud of who they are and what their heritage is. And that's, you know, I'm a white guy, so I'm not sure I can speak properly on this. But I think, as I pointed out in the story, that there have been studies of people that speak a native language, and they found that people who do speak native language in these tribal areas are less likely to be suicidal, to use drugs, and even less likely to have diabetes. I don't know how that works, but that's what the studies say. So there's many benefits even beyond just knowing your language and your culture.
Yeah. Well, Tom Tolan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Well, I was happy to be here, Joy. Thanks.
Tom Tolan is the managing editor for Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the article Rekindling the Fires, which is featured in this month's issue. You can go to wuwm.com for more information.